Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful song, and thank God I don't think I have an artist name on it who originally sang it, but it says Breath of God, Breathe on Me, and I thought it was just absolutely wonderful. Yes, and an early morning devotional song in my book, and I just thank God for it. Good morning, and welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman, of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is April the 27th, 2018. We are 27 days and 4 months into this new year. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to see another day. Hallelujah. Another April the 27th. And I know yesterday I used the name Mac because Minister Renee was here, and you said my own name, Barbara Mack, is Barbara Pittman. Hallelujah. And the Lord reminded me later on, and Shante said something about it, too. So I was reminded to, you know, make an announcement, but the name is Barbara Pittman. Hallelujah. God gave me my maiden name back, And I'm so grateful to have it this morning. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we'll come back with our morning prayer. And I'm waiting for our guest to arrive, Mr. Mike Mobley. And he's going to talk to us about, is marriage only between a man and a woman? And when I read this over on Google, he is talking about three different kinds. Same-sex marriage, the kind of marriage that people can be married to more than one person at one time, and the marriage between just the man and a woman. So I enjoyed the read, so I thought I would ask him to come and share with us today and, yeah, give us some insight on it. And I really enjoyed it. So I believe we all will, yeah. All right, let's go to this one with Ricky Dillard this morning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Anybody have heard that? Do not pass me by. Let's listen to
it. It's the second Sunday of the year. And how you start the year is how you'll end it. If you start with a praise, you'll end with a praise. Come on, choir, pass me not.
Come on,
do not pass me by.
One more time from the top.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Ricky Dillon. And do not pass me by. While or others, thou art calling. Lord, don't pass me by today. Come by and see about me. So we thank God this morning for good gospel music. And good morning to you, Sister Rita and Sister Michelle, Sister Julie, Sion. Good morning, Sister Sion, Sister Kay, Sister Carla. Good morning to you. And good morning to you, Sister Linda. Good morning, Brother Lewis, Sister Dot Goodman, Sister Shonda. Good morning, Brother Dan, Brother Glenn. Good morning to you. And good morning to you, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. And there's one more brother I meant to say good morning to. The name like it just slipped away from me. But we thank God for every caller and every listener, those coming through LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and Google and Pinterest, Instagram, all of the different social media websites and the Freedom Doors Ministry website, those that come through Jesus in the Morning Radio Talk Show website. We thank God for you this morning, and we're moving right along. I'm so grateful unto the Lord to bless me to see another week ending. And I thank him for this Friday, and I had plans for tomorrow to sleep in. Oh, yeah, I had plans to sleep in, but one of the brothers that I'm writing in the prison system that's very, very close to here. It's not even 35 minutes away, so I have no excuse. So he approved me to come and see him. So I will be going up to the prison. Instead of sleeping late tomorrow, I'll be making a prison run tomorrow to go visit. And I thank God, and I'm praying that the Lord would give me the words of encouragement to share with him on tomorrow, and that when I leave, he will be much better than he was when I come in the door, because it's so important that they stay in the right frame of mind, because in a place like that, and him being a man, a lot of times they tell me, I'm used to being the man of myself, you know, I'm not used to people telling me when and where and how to do this, you know, and I have to just remind them sometimes, listen now, no one sent you an invitation to come up here, you know, or in here. You're not a guest here. You imposed on these people, you know. You press your way into their house. And once you're not a guest, you can't get guest treatment. You got to be treated like you imposed, you know. So they tell you when, where, and how. And we have to accept that, you know. And so I'm talking to them about different things, you know. This is one he's got less than a year. And I'm so ready to go. I'm like, calm down. I said, your time is not as long as it has been. It's not as short as it's going to get. I said, man, you off the calendar now. You on the clock. You counting down. So if you've done all of this long, and now you're a short timer. When you was a long timer, you could handle it. But now that you're a short timer, ready to go, I need you to calm down, relax, you know, and find other activities, you know, to get into. If you was going to Bible study and then they have a second class, a Bible class, then go to Bible study and the Bible class. That'd give you activities to do. You know, if you finish your GED, go to the library more often to get more books to read and read these books. You know, find something positive to do, something constructive that's going to help you when you're released from this place that won't cause you to come back. Because what I try to, if I get them when they first go in, I try to get them into different programs and what they didn't have out here, I try to get them to get it while they're in there and prepare for coming back out here. Some people have 30 years. Some people have 50, 110 years, all kind of stuff. Some people with 30 years and no parole. So, you know, it's work involved. It's work involved. But I love it. I love it. I enjoy writing them and sharing with them. And I keep it 100 now. I keep it 100%. Cut no corners. Because a lot of times that's what happened to them. You know, they had somebody in their life who didn't tell them the truth, and they cut corners with them, you know. And now look where I am, you know. And I'm explaining every day to the ones who are short-timers preparing to come back. It's not like it was when you was out here before. You was in the streets and it was rough, but it's not as rough as it is right now. They are killing people on GP, general principle, for no reason. And then you got to look back who you had beef with before. know, now their children, you know, got the guns, and so many guns loose on the street because they breaking in cars, stealing guns, breaking in houses, stealing guns. Who not supposed to have guns have guns. Yeah, because people with mental challenges, they shouldn't have guns. People that voices speak to them, they shouldn't have guns. Young children, they shouldn't have guns. And people that are what we call quick-tempered, they don't think before they react. They react before they think. They shouldn't have guns. But how do you control all of this? Yeah. And any time you set out to do wrong with one thing, it's going to backfire. If I say, hey, Jesus in the morning is only for these kind of people, and no one else can come to it, that's going to backfire on me later. Because I'm thinking these are the only people getting the teachings, but guess what? Somebody in here is teaching other people, and they're teaching, so everybody have it. When you look up, you think just this set of people got it. No, everybody have it. So you have to be careful. And, you know, even how you talk to people today, you just got to be careful and be led by the Spirit of God, because it's evil spirits lurking through the earth. Yeah, and look, they will use whoever will allow them to use them. Whoever let them in, they come in. You can't even crack the door just a tad bit to the evil spirit, because that evil spirit will open that door and come in. And most people, after they done did this ugly thing and their spirit leave them and they back to themselves, they looking like, I didn't do that. You hear a lot of people that's guilty say they innocent. They are innocent. But that evil spirit used them. So they have to pay for what the evil spirit used them to do. Yeah. So a lot of people end up in prison. A lot of people end up in the grave. Yeah. Look, Shante was telling me about an article she read about this guy. He killed somebody or shot up a bunch of people. And he said the devil told him to do it, and then after he did it, the devil left him. He pulled off his clothes and ran, running down the street naked. That happened to a family member of mine. Yeah, he driving down the street. He was on medication for mental illness. Driving down the street, headed to Georgia, and he said the devil got in a car with him, and they driving down the street. He said they laughing and talking, and as it gets so far as a car coming head on, and he said, let me get over. And the devil said, no, man, you got this. You don't have to get over. Just keep going. He followed what the devil said because he was hallucinating evidently from the medication. He kept going and hit head on to a car with three women in it. After the crash, he told me this. The devil got out the car. He said, told the devil, hold up, man, don't leave me, don't leave me, man. You got to stay and explain what you told me to do. So the devil said, no, I can't do that. I got to go. And opened the car door, jumped out and ran. Well, he said when the devil left, he got so hot. He said it was like he was burning up. He said he got out the car and laid down in the dirt to get cool. I was like, what? That was the first time I had ever heard that. But my cousin was with me. And we both are believers. And she looked at me and I looked at her and we kind of nodded to each other because we knew it to be the truth. I had never heard of that before, but I knew it to be the truth. And then when this young man said that, I knew that what he said, I knew that was the truth. But guess what? He's going to get the blame for it. He will have to do the time for it. The devil won't have to do the time. So it's allowing me to know more and more evil spirits are using people. We're looking at the person, but it's the evil spirit. And if we could come together as the saints of God and in that power that he gave to us, because he gave us power, love, and a sound mind, cast these spirits out. They got to go back to hell. We don't need them here in the earth. We don't need them operating in people. Every ugly incident that you hear about, it's not that person that did it, that even birthed it, that, that even thought about, you know, putting it together. It's that evil spirit that leads and guides. People don't think like that, I promise you. We was born in sin, yes, yes. But there's certain sins we're going to commit, fornication, adultery, you know, cut somebody out. But as far as all of the real deep evil stuff, those are deep evil spirits, and they've been here a long time. They didn't just come yesterday. They've been here for years and years and years. All the cop killings, that's not the cops. That's the evil spirits that's using the cops. And many cops don't, they're not believers. They don't have God in their heart. They don't go to church. They haven't been to Sunday school and been taught. They're just police officers. They just fired one yesterday. I think they say he had been on there 15 months. And a drunk man, they was holding him in the holding tank at the jail, and he beat the man up real bad. So I guess it was wide open proof. Even the jailers saw it, you know, so they had to get rid of him. I said, oh, they don't like him. Because what's the problem with them making an excuse for him like they do with the rest of them? But that evil spirit is finding out more and more. It's coming out in the open, so it try to curve some things so that, you know, it's not too, you know, obvious. Because the devil banking on you not believing. That's how he get many. He's banking on people not believing. Because if you don't believe, then he got you. Yeah. Oh, there's no devil. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no God. He got you right there. He come now. This is what the John 10:10 said. I didn't say it. You can't hold it against me. I wasn't there when God inspired him to write it. But John 10:10 says this. The devil come but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the only reason he coming to you. That's the only reason why he's going to deal with you. Yeah. And that's another thing. The devil is a lie. He told the first lie. He the father of all lies. Yeah. So we know this, and he wants you not to believe, see, because if you don't believe he's real, he got you. You'll wake up one day and find yourself somewhere you never thought you could be, because he will trick you. He got you. But God gave you power, love, and a sound mind, so you don't have to be afraid of him. He got angry with me because the people I've been working with this week and last week, he don't like it. Some severe cases. Some of us, we thought we had some cases, like Minister Renee said yesterday, but some of these cases are very, very severe, to the point where people went to the hospital behind it. And so I was there for them. Every time they called, I answered the phone. Every time they called, I answered the phone. That's God. Because I could have been in a position where I couldn't talk. And the phone just had to ring. All I could do is look at it and begin to pray, Lord, whatever they need, God, fulfill the need right now. Could have been one of those. But these people needed a live voice to hear back. They needed somebody to share with. I was on Facebook, and a lady come, and she didn't have very much to say. She didn't have very much to say, but she was in dire straits. She was in a severe situation, and all she needed was somebody to listen to a few words and stop. I was going to keep going. She cut it off. That's it. That's all I needed. Bye-bye. But I was there. I was the ear to listen, the eyes to read, you know, that kind of thing. And God called us to something. And we can get this watered-down ministry going. We can get in these pity party ministries and get into this place where it's about me and mine. I don't want to be out there, and I don't want to say nothing. We can be that all we want to. But if he called you to something, we need to investigate it. Lord, what did you call me to? What can I do? Because the biggest part of counseling is listening. I do a lot of talking. And a lot of listening. Sometimes I just have to shut up, sit back, and let them drive the boat until they stop and turn around and ask me a question. Then I answer, but I can't answer with a long answer. I got to give them a short response, sit back again, and let them continue to drive the boat. So this is a lot of what we got to do. I believe if we was working the prisons,
so crowded. I'm not saying those evil spirits won't use people, you know, but it wouldn't have a chance to use them as much. Because those that's been in there, we're ministering to them, casting out those evil spirits and getting them in a place with God where they should be. But we're too needy. God save us and we sit back and wait for the preacher. God save us, we sit back and wait for the church doors to open. I'm too busy trying to get me together. Well, when will you get together? Because if it's going to take you until God come back to get together, I don't know what to tell you. When you go back with him, what kind of work will you have to present before him? What would be stored up for you? Because you didn't do any work. You got saved and kept saving yourself. He called us out here. There's much work to be done. And we want to do it. All right, Mr. Mike, I thank you in here with me this morning. I wanted to share a little bit and until you come along, but I thank God for you. I'll be bringing you in very shortly. So, look, that's what we want to do because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. But how about the labor he called us to and many of us he chose us for? Few are called, I say, and many are chosen. And the reason why the few are called is few are chosen and many are called because it's much work. I don't have to say I'm an evangelist to share the good news of Jesus. You know, I don't have to say I'm a pastor to share the good news. I don't need a title. I don't have to have all 66 books in my brain to tell somebody about the goodness of God. All I got to do is tell them about a testimony, what he has done for me. And, you know, if they said, well, what church you go to, I can tell them what church. If it's a Bible-teaching church, a God-fearing, Bible-teaching, Spirit-leading church, then I can share with them. But these watered-down, quiet ministries, I can't send them over there because all they're going to do is put a Band-Aid on the wound, and then every now and then pull the Band-Aid off. See, it's not going to get a scab on it. I don't believe in that. I believe in leading you to the Lord, leaving you there at a Bible-teaching, Spirit-sealed church where they're teaching the truth so that you can grow, so that you can go back out in the vineyard and do for someone else what they did for you. Yeah, it's a revolving door. It should be in and out. I when I look at the apostles and the disciples, they was never in the same place every Wednesday or every Sunday. Sometimes they would go back to that place, to that city. But I didn't see them going to the same synagogue and all of that, you know, over and over, I mean, religiously, if they call it. Because the work is in the street. The harvest is outside of the four walls. When will we get it? I don't know. We're working on it. We're praying about it. Yeah, because we want to get there. And be a worker unto Almighty God who have all the power. Yeah, so many people messed up, and they need our help. And people try to tell me, oh, see, you special. No, I'm no, he's no respecter of persons. It's our mind. It's the way we think. It's what we really want. What's your real heart's desire? My heart's desire is that others would be blessed. Many would come to God and be able to go back and help many more. That's my heart's desire. That's my true heart's desire, that people would get it right with God, walk up right before him and love him, that they sell out. They sell their whole life unto him without excuses. That's another heart's desire. So listen, we didn't pray yet, so I'm going to quickly pray, Mike, and bring you right in after the prayer. I mean right in. So we're going to pray the prayer of faith this morning, and whatever you're praying and asking God for today, I'm touching and agreeing with you on this Friday that God will move for you in a mighty way. We have not because we ask not, and if we ask, it'll be given unto us. So we're asking him. And he's able today to see us through. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning thanking you for this day. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for our life, health, and strength. Thank you for the use and activities of our limbs. We realize this morning, without you, we can do nothing. And Father, it was you that woke us up. It was you that gave us movement of our limbs, and it's you that give us our being, our life, oh God. And Father, we thank you this morning, and we thank you for another opportunity. You woke us up to give us another chance to get it right with you and to share with others and to love others and to help others. And Father, this morning, whatever you have called or chosen us for, Lord, we ask today that God, you would make it even plainer so that we understand the work that you called us to. Even in your word, a man don't work, shouldn't eat. And in the beginning, Father, you come work and you created the heavens and the earth. So, Father, there's work to be done, and help us to work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can see. Each and every caller this morning, each and every listener this morning, and I steal it over to their seed, God, their children, and every family member today, that they will become workers unto you. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for what you've done already. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And, Father, what you're going to do. We thank you for your spirit this morning, coming with us to lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. And that, Father, we are blessed and we come out with the testimony in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning that, Father, you would bless every caller and every listener. Move by your spirit for them today. Lord, we ask that you would not only supply needs, but that, God, you would stir up hearts' desires, and that, God, you would give hearts' desires today. Again, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we're leaning and depending on you, for you are our source, you are our resources. You're more than we need today, in the name of Jesus. And as we reach out to you this morning, Father, we know you're reaching back to us. Hallelujah. We ask today that you would heal those that are sick among us. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And, Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Hallelujah. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. And we lay the sick on the altar today before you and ask again that you would heal as only you can do. You're the great physician. You're the God that healeth thee in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are incarcerated, Father, and their families, those that are in every branch of the military and their family. Remember children today, O God. Your word said, suffer the children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is your kingdom. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Bless every Blog Talk host that's teaching and preaching Jesus. Lead others to you through your son. Bless the segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today, Father, and bless Mike as he come in and share with us your people. Use him today in your service to be a blessing unto us, and then many will hear and it will bless them the same. Bless his wife and bless his children this morning. In the name of Jesus, bless the ministry that he's a part of. Father, we ask that you would do it for him. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask again. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. We give him glory, for he alone is worthy, and we're thankful. So listen, at this time, I'm going to bring Mike Mobley. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right, Mike. I'll mess up something right now with a name. Good morning,
no,
Mike.
No,
how
you said it right. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So listen, I would like it, if you can, to share about your ministry or the ministry that you're part of, and share with us about, is marriage only between a man and a woman? And just tell us all as much as you would like to tell us about you, and you have the floor. I'm turning everything over to you. I'll be right here. If you need to share something with me or ask me a question, I'll be right here. But I got so excited when I read this over on Google. I said, how can I get a hold of this guy? And, you know, God before you, he's more than. So he went beyond what I could think of and showed me a way to contact you. And I got a response. I was so excited. Yeah. So we're grateful to have you this morning. And, again, I'm turning the floor over to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity in your ministry as well. And I'm a pastor here in Austin, Texas. We're planting a new church here in the kind of central Austin downtown area. We started last year. It's called Austin Life Church. And I've been in ministry probably for the past decade or so. God called me into ministry. And I didn't think that was going to happen, you know, growing up. But like you're saying, God has his ways, and his thoughts are much higher and better than ours. And so I've been married for the past 8 years to my beautiful wife, Joelle. And I have a daughter and a son, daughter Peyton. She's 5 years old. And my son's name is Matthew. He's three. And so we're here in Austin, kind of getting a new church underway. And then I've started a website called Before the Cross about 7 years ago, and really just started writing out of obedience to what I believe God was just telling me to write. And really just maybe for my own personal obedience. And then over time, I had, you know, different people tell me, hey, you should share this stuff publicly. And so I just started doing that, just kind of one post at a time, and it's kind of taken off over the years. And so I'm always just blown away at the way God uses different posts to interact people. Just to, the whole goal is really just to glorify God by sharing the love of Christ. And we can do that in so many different topics and ways in our culture. There's always certain things to talk about. And so just been doing that over the years. And like you mentioned, there is, you know, the topic of marriage, which I'll talk about in just a second. I wanted to encourage you. I love that you were saying ministry is not just for the pastors, because when you think about all of our roles out there, you know, pastors maybe make up 1% of the workforce, even, you know, in the world. And just imagine how many people, how many followers of Jesus can impact the world who will never be called pastor. And I just love what you were saying. I'm sorry. I know I'm kind of deviating here, but I wanted to point that out. I love that
you
said that. Because, yeah. Yeah. And we're all equipped for ministry. And whether you're a pastor or a school teacher or, you know, a plumber, whatever it is, there's value and purpose in not only in your job to benefit the city and people, but just to be a minister yourself. And so I just love that you said that. I think more people just need to hear that and be reminded, because you don't have to have everything together, and you don't have to be a scholar in order to serve Jesus and make him known and share the gospel with others. God uses everyday people all the time, and we're all everyday people. So just I love you said that. So yeah, in regards to marriage, yeah, something I wanted to share this morning is just, you know, we live in a day in a culture where it's kind of obvious now, you know, marriage is something that it never really used to be. You know, what used to be something more, probably what you would call guarded and sacred, is now really unprotected and ungodly. Even the definition of marriage itself is up for grabs, and just kind of whatever seems to be the most popular in any given year or decade just seems to now start winning on what the culture likes to say what marriage really is. But, you know, when subjects like these, whether it's marriage or other ones, when they seem to kind of spiral out of control, you know, how are we as followers of Jesus supposed to make sense of it? You know, what is marriage, and is it only between one man and one woman? You know, I think these are questions we need to answer. You know, we need to think about that, because can you imagine if there was no definition of marriage, what would it look like? You know, it may look a lot like what it is today. You know, it could be kind of all over the place. It could just be constantly changing over the years and over the next couple of decades. But, you know, at the end of the day, we really need to answer, is there a definition, and is it only between one man and one woman? And so just before I kind of answer that question, you know, I wanted to talk about a couple popular viewpoints that are out there today. There's kind of two. There's one in particular, and there's another one that's probably kind of up and coming. So the first one, you know, a same-sex marriage, you know, that type of marriage, it can be defined as a man marrying another man or a woman marrying another woman. Most of the battles kind of in favor of this, people who really are pushing for a same-sex marriage just to be legal all over the place, really is to have spousal benefits and parenting rights, and they don't want to be discriminated against. Since these were only available, in marriages with one man and one woman back in the day. So in 2004, Massachusetts, it was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage over spousal benefits and parenting rights. And what happened next, by now, we're in 2018, we kind of noticed what happened next. It just kind of sparked across the country this same-sex marriage kind of debate, and we should make it legal over here and over there. And so we kind of saw all that kind of just spiraled out of control. And then today, obviously, we're looking, from a culture's perspective at multiple viewpoints and kind of arguments in marriage. And so that's kind of a popular one, same-sex marriage, probably not a shocker to any of us by now. Another one is plural marriage. That might be a little bit newer for some of us. It's also known as polygamy. It's been around for quite some time, but it's starting to gain some traction because once we, as a culture at least, changed the definition of marriage and we opened it up to something like same-sex, it kind of becomes if we're going to do that, then why can't we do something else? And so when it comes to plural marriage, that's, where a man can have multiple wives or a woman can have multiple husbands. The viewpoint behind that, people in favor of that are just kind of thinking, why just one man or one woman, or, a man and a man together, why just one? Why can't there be multiple? And I just think at the end of the day, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. And the fact that the culture is just kind of headed that way, a culture that's not necessarily going to put Jesus first in everything. I believe today if Jesus was here, we would have the same culture who would end up, ultimately crucifying him again. And so we can look at our world and see there's obviously a great need for Jesus and that he's not going to be first across a sinful and broken world right now. And so we can't be surprised, when something like marriage is starting to be redefined from the culture's perspective. And so real marriage, so the real biblical definition of marriage, and obviously this is the one I would support, to define it, we got to look at the Bible. And the Bible is 100% truth. Men wrote down the words back in the day, but the Holy Spirit led them the entire way, making it absolutely perfect. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible's never been proven wrong, and it never will be, really. There's always going to be arguments against it, but at the end of the day, even the more evidences and science and other stuff that comes out, it's actually just proving it more and more to be true, which is incredible. But as followers of Jesus, we got to remember, we're going to feel the pull of culture pulling us, to the left and to the right and wanting us to redefine things, similar to Satan tempting Eve in the garden, saying, did God really say, this? Did God really say that? And we're up against a culture that's going to go, well, is marriage really just between, a man and a woman? Does it really say that, or does it really mean something else? And so we really, as Christians, have got to make sure we're spending time in the Word, and that's got to be daily. It can't just be a little checkbox we mark off and move on 30 seconds later. We've got to read it. We've got to abide in Christ. And the more we read it, the more we'll recognize when false teachings kind of come our way. And so back to marriage, the first marriage in human history, it came from Adam and Eve. God made it clear in the beginning, when there were only two people, one male, one female, that man would leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So Genesis 2:22 through 24 says, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, that at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. See, from the very beginning, God created us male and female and made mention that as we become married as male and female, man cannot separate it. Nothing can separate that. Mark 10, 6 through 9 says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So marriage, at the end of the day, according to the Bible, is between a man and a woman only. Even when you're talking about something like temptation, the Bible speaks out about how each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So 1 Corinthians 7:2, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And so it's over and over stated again in the Bible that there's no such thing at the end of the day as a same-sex, plural, or any other kind of marriage in the Bible except for the only one that is between one man and one woman. But I think something important to note is I'm talking about the way the Bible defines marriage. So the world, like we said earlier, they're going to define it differently. And we need to really be careful how we respond as followers of Jesus. Absolutely with truth. Jesus did that himself. But we got to make sure we're responding with grace. John Maxwell has a great quote saying, Christians need to decide whether they're going to spend their lives correcting people or connecting with them. And I just think it's a good word for us today. We often get into a topic like marriage, and it's emotional, and it's still fairly new as far as it being defined. It was only 2004 when this, you know, when the first one became same-sex marriage became legalized, that I just think we need to be careful that we're not condemning others just when sin is present. You know, just because the world is acting like the world, and when non-believers act like non-believers, we can't get shocked by that. And if you really think about it, we were all there at some point in the past. And we still struggle today. We're still not going to get it perfectly right. But before we were followers of Jesus, we also were anti-God and anti-Jesus. And were against many things in Scripture before we became followers. And so we got to remember we love others because Jesus first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. And that if you think about the way Jesus spent his time, most people kind of pass over this when he was accused to be a gluttonous drunkard, you know, a guy who ate and drank all the time. I mean, he earned that reputation. And the reason he earned that reputation is because he was eating and drinking with sinners all the time. He was spending time with them. You know, was he getting drunk or doing anything sinful like that? Absolutely not. It's perfectly sinless in every single way. But he was spending time with people and getting to know them and loving them. And Jesus never shied away from the truth. In fact, Jesus was very direct with the word with people. But it was very captivating to them, I think, because he cared for them and they could sense that. And so as Christians ourselves, when we're talking to people who are struggling with marriage or they disagree that it's between one man and one woman only, we can't just write them off and just say, well, you're wrong and move on. I think a challenge for us is to be thinking, are we eating and drinking with those people? You know, are we spending time with them and getting to know them, even if they're in an unbiblical marriage? You know, what difference is that versus other sins they could be in? Because they're not even Christians to begin with. And so I just think there's going to be all sorts of new marriages down the road. And the way we love people and build relationships with them, it shouldn't change at all because of the way Jesus modeled it for us. We can't be shocked when new things come into the culture that are going to be anti-Bible. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, is marriage only between one man and one woman? Yes. And that's what the Bible says. And the Bible is the authority. That's what God says. And he is the creator and designer of marriage. So I think he knows what's best and how it all works since he created everything. And it's really, that's the only way marriage and really also families work. And we'll continue to see that play out over time, because I think we'll see biblical marriages producing fruitful families. Other type of marriages will involve some pretty big consequences. Again, not because we're looking down on others in that, but just because we know this is the way God has designed it. And so we're going to see over the next couple of decades, these families and these marriages that have played out in an unbiblical way, there's going to be consequences. And in that moment, we as followers of Jesus, we can't point at people and say, aha, I told you so, you shouldn't have done that. That's exactly the moment we need to rush in with love and grace with people, because that could be the pivotal moment that many people turn to Jesus and realize, why isn't this working? And they want help. And so people are going to remember us more of how they felt when they interacted with us. Did we genuinely want to know them and spend time with them versus us just telling them, hey, you're wrong, and moving on. And so I think the church as a whole, we've got to be bold. We've got to speak up about what real marriage is in a day where the definition can be confusing to so many. But at the same time, we got to remember we need to love and minister to those who don't have an accurate understanding of what marriage is before we just write them off with their own sin. We can't do that. Because at the end of the day, we need to remember just how sinful we still are and how much at the end of the day we all need Jesus. So on our good days or on our bad days, we need Jesus just the same. And we want to make much of him and glorify him with everything that we do. So speak boldly, be courageous about the truth of the word and what the Bible says, and just be led with grace and peace along the way, you know, as you interact with others. So that's really all I had in regards to marriage. And I'd love to pray, if that's okay, just to kind of wrap up, you know,
yes,
our time this morning.
Yes.
If that's great. God, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can come before you anytime, anywhere like this. We just pray, Holy Spirit, you continue to open up our hearts and our minds and renew us to what your word says. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that the more sinful we realize we are as we grow as believers, I pray that the cross becomes bigger for us each and every day, because we see our great need for you, Jesus, and how much you do for us is just incredible. And I pray that when we lose sight of what you've done for us, the fact we're breathing right now, you're providing breath for us. Like was mentioned earlier, you woke us up. We don't even have the ability to wake ourselves up, and you've done that for us today. And so I pray, whether it's the little things or the big things, we just give you glory and honor every step of the way, and that we want to see healthy, biblical marriages just flourish across the country and the world, and that you would be honored with the way you've designed relationships and marriage to be, and that we as your children can love others well, Jesus, because of the way you've loved us. When we interact with people who may not agree with the way we're defining marriage and how relationships should work. And so would we please be a people led with grace and love, and that we would love others, Jesus, the way you modeled that for us. And ultimately seeing just because that's the way you love us every single day. And so if you've forgiven us for all past, present, and future sins, for all eternity, and God, which you have because of Christ, and we're so thankful for that. If you've done that for us, we can surely look at people here and love them well and not condemn them because there's no condemnation for us, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we love you. Let us just glorify you. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank you so much for coming and sharing this with us, because I tell you, it's as if the world has flipped, not just upside down, but sideways. And it's like when it flipped, a lot of people's brain, even in the church, it just shook it all up wrong and messed it up.
Mm.
So now they are thinking wrong, because I mean, I know there are a lot of weak people and people like for other people to lead them and this kind of thing, but we got to think, although I want somebody to do it for me, but will they treat me right in doing it for me? Are they telling me the truth? Are they taking me to a safe place? This needs to be our thinking, you know, even though we weak and we want people to lead us. I've heard men say before, oh, women like men to lead them. They want somebody to tell them what to do. But in him telling me and sharing with me, will it be fair? Is he taking me to a safe place? Is he going to protect me in this place? What's going on? Because if not, you can have some more Jim Jones situations. Remember that Jim Jones and the Guyana tragic? You could have Columbine. You could have all kind of stuff. This guy, I followed him for years, Charles Manson. You could have all that kind of stuff. Because we are lazy. We won't get up and pray and ask God for ourselves and believe God for us. We want the preacher to do it. We want the pastor to do it. Bring the evangelists in. Let them do it. And will the deacons do it? Everybody but me. I'm just a pew sitter. Or I'm an usher going down the aisle following the usher leader, you know, of the usher board, as they call it. But when will I get up and work and work in the field? Because time is quickly winding up. He called us all to something. Do you know I have a spiritual brother, and he's blind. And he can't get out like we get out. He can't drive like we drive. But do you know this man is constantly on the phone witnessing and counseling with people and helping people, and he's blind. Because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he's remembering to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers, but he want to remember the labor that the Lord of the harvest called him to. You know, you got those who will go and see about the elderly. And some of these people go see about the elderly, and when one of them say, well, can you spend the night? They have their own homes and everything. They say, well, I don't want to leave her by herself. She want me to spend the night. She spend the night. They she prepared dinner for this woman. She watched television, Christian movies with a war room. When it's over with, they sit there with their Bibles open and they discuss war room. It's some workers, but he need more. He need more.
Yep.
He need more prison pen pal people, more prison ministries. And he don't need people going in there, you know, just patting them on the head, but telling them the truth and showing them how you don't have to come back here. But it's only through Christ Jesus, the Son of the true and living God, who have all power. And it all starts with faith. You must believe. Those of us that come to God, the first key was to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So even though Pastor Mike is here, do you think he have to stop seeking God because now he's a pastor? No. That's not a level where you get to and you just rest now. Well, I done made pastorship. I guess this is it. No. He got to keep going. His studying will never be done. His prayer life will never end until God returns or he pass away in this life. And when I say pass away, he's passing on to take his rest until God calls his name. So we got to work and we got to get up and get busy. And if we could come together on one accord. I went out with my church once, the church I attend and the pastor, and I gave out bottled water on the corner. I gave out bottled water about a couple of blocks over on a busy street from the church. And this guy, he owned a record shop. It's been there, I want to almost feel like 100 years. He come out and he sat in the chair next to me on the corner. And he was talking to me. He said, yeah, my church, you know, pray for us. We going through a little something right now. I said, really? He said, yeah, just keep us in prayer. And look, he sat there with me, businessman. And I'm passing when people walk by, I'm handing them bottled water. My daughter and others, the pastor on the corner, they passing that bottle of water where the pastor went into another business to talk to the people in there. We wasn't seeking church membership.
We were seeking them which was lost, those that were lost. That's what we were seeking after. Because people have so many problems today. Because it's just like the songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs we bear. Why? All because we do not carry every little thing to God in prayer. So we praying and we seeking people. And when we see something going on and we have the answer or we have the way, we need to step up and don't worry about not being counted. Just step up there and do what you can do. And if more believers will come together in this way, but we withdrawing. Oh, I don't want to get into that. Oh, I'm not confrontational. Well, I'm all of that. I'm confrontational. I'm in your business. I'm all kind of ways that I need to be when it comes to God using me to be a blessing in the earth, because I'm doing my part to make the world a better place. And if everybody would do their part to make the world a better place, God could come in and fix a lot. Oh, yeah, he could, all the shootings, these evil spirits running rampant through the land, we could cast them back to the pits of hell. Because he gave us power, love, and a sound mind, but we don't activate nothing. We don't really believe.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong. People don't really believe the word of God, but you got to put this thing into action. Apply it to your everyday life. Where it says, trust in the Lord. I can tell you some things that would blow your mind. But where Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Where it says that at, I took it personally. I apply this every day. There have been some hard things come my way because of where I've been and what I've done and who I was. But when I lean and depend on this word, when I trust God with my whole heart, I don't keep apart from myself. I give him the whole thing. And I pray about it, and he showed me it's him directing me which way to go. Don't go down A Street, go down B Street. Now, I don't hear an audio voice, but it comes strong in my spirit. And I know which way to go and which way not to go. And when I obey the Spirit of God, I'm safe. I'm good. I'm cheerful. I'm happy. I can rejoice. But when I lean to my own understanding, I'm miserable. I'm trying to figure it out. Why? You gave it to him. He already knew about it. He already fixed it. He knew it before it happened how to fix it. So now I need you to walk away and see who you can help, that you really can help in the natural now, because he's working your stuff out for you. So now I see somebody need a ride to the grocery store. Well, this person over here, they got a doctor's appointment, but they don't have money for the bus and they don't have transportation. I have gas in my car and time. Let me take them to the doctor and patiently wait. When they leave, they have a prescription to be filled, and they don't pay for the prescription. Medicare pay for that, or Medicaid or whatever. I take them to the pharmacy, get the prescription filled, make sure they get home safe. If they elderly, did you eat today? Can I make you something? Whatever the case may be. Mm. Yeah, and I don't pick and choose. I don't have the right to pick and choose. God sends who he want me to be a blessing to. Just like with prison pen pal writing, I didn't have a choice to choose. God sent who he wanted me to write and who he wanted to write me back. God sent who he wanted me to go to the prison and visit. Yeah, that's not my own choice. Because if it would have been me in the natural, I never would have chosen to go see men over women. I would have went to see the women first, you know that. But he didn't give me a choice, so I go to see the men first, because I believe women are the weaker vessel. That's why that, you know. And I'm a woman.
Sure.
But give me that option. Yeah, he don't give me that option. Okay, you're a woman, you go see women. Put the men on the back burner. No, you go see the men first. And even though these men are locked up in prison, you don't go with the authority of a woman. You go with my authority in love, to show them love and to respect them still as men, although they locked up. See, because there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And a lot of times we think, oh, they locked up, they ain't worth nothing. I'm a woman, but I sell out. I tell them about this. No, you can't do that. You got to obey, come subject to the word of God, to stay in right standards with him. See, we are his if we obey. But if we don't obey, we're none of his. So we learn more and more daily in this walk to obey the word of God, to obey God, to pray about every little thing that we can. You know, as often as we remember, we serve others. I had to catch myself this week because some of those cases were hard, I served. Some of those cases was mental health cases. And you're talking to people not closed in their right mind. But I yet had to serve in love. I yet had to be obedient and serve. So we just got to get there and come out of this tradition of what we was taught in the church and get in the word of God and be have an open heart to be obedient, to work unto him. And he's going to begin to teach you the difference in when it's the spirit and when it's the evil spirit, when it's the spirit of God and when it's the evil spirit. You've been there so much, you've done it so much, you're knowing the difference now. And we yet have to be careful even in that, because guess what? The evil spirit got new tricks. They try in new ways now. And see, he's trying to trick the very elite in God, the very elect of God, I'll say. So we got to be prayerful, always in that word, always in the word of God. And David said he hid it in his heart that he might not. He didn't say that he wouldn't. He said that he might not sin against God. Because many times when the enemy come in like a flood, we'll forget it's God that raised the standard. Yeah, because when that thing come, it's some hard days. Yesterday, let me tell you, that evil spirit come and tried to remind me of my past and all the negative stuff. But guess what I remember? Greater is he that lives within me than he that, that lives within the world, than he that is in the world. And look here, I can do all things. Oh, I'm about to get excited right now. Through Christ who strengthened me today. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I'm grateful today. Unto him that I know him for myself. This is not according to the Sunday school teacher. It's not according to the bishop and the pastor and all these people, but it's according to him teaching me according to my heart of what I wanted. I began to seek him with my whole heart, and he began to show up for me.
And
the scriptures would come. But we just got to get real in him and mean God some business. The shootings have stopped. All this crazy stuff going on. Even Mr. Trump would get a new attitude about life, period. Period. But we got to get on one accord. Yeah, that's why he said, well, two or three, because he knew he wouldn't have 10,000 on one accord doing nothing unless it was for show, you know, or to get some media attention or something. But he knew he could get two or three together as touching and agreeing so he could be in the midst, so he could hear and answer us. And look how many of us we are today. Ooh, it's so many of us, it's ridiculous. Believe. Go ahead, Mike, you got something you want to say? I know something got to be burning around there.
Oh. Well, I love what you're saying. I just agree with everything you're saying, and I think just a good reminder for everyone, you everyone who follows Jesus, you really are equipped. You're given the Holy Spirit. You're given everything you need to be able to be obedient one day at a time, and just look at the people around you. Just look where God's placed you. You know, look at those little tangible needs you can meet for other people. And it doesn't have to be this intimidating, overwhelming call on your life. It's just simply one day at a time. And if you think about this, your salvation has nothing to do with yourself, has everything to do with what Jesus has done for you. So if your salvation is based on nothing you could contribute, well, it's the same thing today and tomorrow and the day after that. It's not about your performance and what you can contribute. It's about what Jesus has done for you and what he's calling you to do today. And he'll give you everything you need to accomplish what he's calling you to do today. So sometimes we think, Jesus, thank you for saving me. now that you saved me, I need to kind of pay you back and do all these good things for you. And it's overwhelming. And I just think Jesus is saying, no, you couldn't save yourself. And so why does anything change now that you're walking day to day? And so I just want believers just to be encouraged. I mean, you really are equipped with everything you need. And I heard a guy, you know, I'll just kind of end on this. I heard a guy from India talk one time, and he said something really, really convicting. It's really simple. It's really fundamental when it comes to being a Christian, but it was really cutting things to the core from a heart perspective. And he basically said, obedience at the end of the day is not a choice when following Jesus. If you love Jesus and you're a follower of his, obedience will flow after that. It'll just automatically happen. And so the question isn't always, where's my obedience today? The bigger question is, do you love Jesus today? And if you love Jesus and if he is first in your life, you will be obedient. They go hand in hand together. And so I don't want to confuse people to make you think that you're not a follower of Jesus if you haven't been obedient lately. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But I think the encouragement is more of fix your eyes on Jesus, right? Spend time with him. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying, just like you were saying. Pray for your faith and your desires to grow. And then you will catch yourself being obedient in the process. You're going to look at people differently. You're going to be confident in a way, not cocky, but confident in a way that's courageous and bold, the way God has actually wired you to be. And you'll notice yourself, you'll be obedient. You'll be obedient today if you fix your eyes on Jesus and just want to grow in your love for him. So just wanted to say that.
Yes, yes. Thank God for his word, and I thank God for, you know, showing himself, you know, through his word that he's faithful to us. And if we'll go to him, he will in no wise cast us out for anything. He won't, you know, not hear you. But we got to go to him with a sincere heart and in realness and mean what we say and say what we mean and, you know, want to be doing what he would have us to do. And it was. I hope I didn't knock the chat room. I did it again. I knocked the chat room off. Okay, excuse me one minute. Sister Linda and Brother Louis, I'm bringing the chat room right back. I know y'all may be in, but it kicked me out. So I got to go back and reopen it and see if I can get back in. But we thank God this morning for Pastor Mike coming and sharing with us. And I hope you felt comfortable and everything, and you're coming because we just know that God is. And we trust him and have faith. And I want to do too much. I want to be doing too much than doing too little. That's just the way I feel, because he has been good to me over and over again. He's been there for me. And many times, you know, we make him the precious Savior and the baby of Mary, and we pat him up so we can pat people up. But this is what I know. If he chased those folk out of the temple for selling stuff in his father's house, he got a side to him that he can straighten us out from that side as well. And I don't believe he was just quietly, you know, a spanking. I believe he was whipping and beating. Get out of here. I believe his voice got loud and he was serious. And so many times, you know, he told us to go in the hedges and highway and compel man to come in. And everybody want to be easy going and smooth, but in some cases you got to compel and cry loud and spare not. Because if not, people keep doing the same thing over again, until they hear it with a loud voice and a whipping way, then they get it right. Hallelujah. God got a mighty sweet way. We're not mean. We're not violent people. We love everybody because God told us to, even our enemies. But even in love, if I say I love you and I don't straighten you out when you need straightening, how can I love you? I'm going to just let you keep running being a fool in the world when I could tell you the truth and you could learn the truth and do better. Because when we learn better, we do better. Yeah. And it's a time and a place for everything. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I feel all right right there this morning. Yeah. He promised never to abandon or leave us. Amen, Sister Linda. God bless you. Yeah, I'm back in there, I think. Did y'all see? Let me see. I think I'm back in. Yes, I'm back in there. I had to reopen it up and refresh it and all kind of stuff to get back to the chat room. So this morning, again, we have Pastor Mike with us, Pastor Mike Mobley. And his topic this morning, he talked about, is marriage only between a man and a woman? And he talked about the different three types of marriages, you know, same sex, where people can have more than one wife or more than one husband. And then he talked about the biblical marriage, the contract that God put together between the man and woman and himself out of Genesis. Yeah, I heard him say a man leave home and cleave to his wife. Yeah, and so a man, and see, today I know they're trying to change it so there will be no man and woman. See, that way we, the believer don't have a voice because there's no such thing as a man or woman. It's just a gender. But, boy, you will not change God's plan. The heaven and earth pass away before you change the plan of Almighty God. And I know they don't understand, but you're becoming the enemy of God, and God take care of his enemies. And you don't want to fall into the hand of an angry God thinking you're doing something. What your flesh wants you to do, when there's a spiritual God who has inspired man to write the way that he wants us to go. Yeah, so we got to be careful this morning. And I thank God again for Pastor Mike coming through and sharing with us in the prayer he prayed. Thank God for that. And he agreed with me on getting up working unto the Lord. Don't leave everything to the church, the preacher, the pastor, you know, the bishop and all these people. Don't leave everything. The Pope, don't leave everything to him. I see people running and screaming and all of this kind of stuff behind the Pope. I understand there are certain religions, certain ways, and, you know, you go in and you make your confession to the man and the man character God. I can't do all of that. I have to go with the real mediator of all mediators. I can carry my petition to Jesus, and he carried a petition to the Father on my behalf. That's what I do, and it has worked for many years, and it has gotten me into places I never would have been able to get into had it not been for me prayerfully believing, Jesus, take this to the Father on my behalf. and it has been done many times. That's why you hear me ask for it in Jesus' name. Yeah, that he take it, because he's our mediator, and he'll take it to the Father. Yeah. So I'm grateful again this morning. And is there anyone have something they would like to say or ask or share this morning? If so, feel free to press that number one and come in. I see you, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. And God bless you, Brother D. Thank God for you. And, just feel free. Wicked, wicked, wicked. I see you down there, wicked. God bless you this morning. And we're going to one more song. Pastor Mike, I'm going to dedicate this one to you this morning, this song today. Matter of fact, to you and your family, I'm going to dedicate this one. And I'm looking for it right now. All right, let's go with this one this morning. All My Hope.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to that river, and I hate the same, a prodigal return. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins forgiven. Oh, I
Michelle, I got the songs,
And Sister Rita, I got your song, and I'll download it today. And on Monday, I will play those songs, well, some of them. And each week, Sister Michelle, I'll add more songs because that's a lot of them, and I'm grateful. So each week I have new music to play, and those that want to send me songs, feel free. It's all right today in Jesus' name. So listen, no one have anything they would like to say? If not, I will pray us out early this morning, and we'll get out early on Friday. All right. I'll tell you what, let me go to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say, then I will pray us out. I'm going to one more song if I can. All right, Brother Lua, I know you like this one. I'm going to go ahead and play it for you. Music too, and gospel, you know, that's my favorite of all music. That's about the only music I'm really going to listen to, because no other music inspire me and encourage me and uplift me like good gospel music. And so I'm grateful unto the Lord. So listen, if no one else have anything they would like to say this morning, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And Monday we'll be talking about the killing that's going on, how people are easily dying, and all the violence in the world that's happening, especially in America. And I just knew we were more civilized than any other country in the world. But with all the craziness, I don't know what has happened. Well, I do know what has happened, but I don't know why the believers can't come together and cast these spirits out of here. Cast them out of the country of America. And once we do this, we can cast them from anywhere else, because we have come together and learned what to do. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be right. See, I want to be right in what I'm saying. You want to be right in what you're saying. You scared of my teachings. I'm scared. Just craziness. Let's just come together in prayer. You don't have to pray of my teachings, and I don't have to pray what you're teaching your people. But we're praying to God for this one common thing that we want. And if we could just do that one thing, God will move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. That's the word now. That's the word of God. That's not the word of Barbara. That's the word of God. Because, see, Barbara would give you chapter 8, verses 4 through 12, and it would be all, I'm telling you, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. Yeah, I couldn't take it, most likely. So God came and brought the word so that we all could survive the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I thank him for being that kind of God, because when I was yet bad and ugly, he died for me. Hallelujah. And so I'm grateful unto him this morning. So at this time, I'm going to pray us out, and we pray again that God bring us back Monday. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Thank you, Lord, for being here for us over and over again, never leaving us nor forsaking us. Father, you'll be with us until the end. We thank you this morning that all things must work together for our good. And we thank you today, Lord, that you won't withhold no good thing from us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. And Father, we pray for each and every listener this morning as we depart, that, Lord, you would move in a mighty way for them and their families this weekend. Lord, we ask that you would come in and open every door and shut every door that needs to be closed in the precious name of Jesus. Help us to help others today, O God. Help us to work while it's day. When night comes, we can't see. Father, we ask that you would bless our going out and bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today. And, Father, remember our heart's desires. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. God bless you this morning. And, again, I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and I'll be working on the website. Y'all go over and check it out when you can, and let me know if you see any typos or anything over there. All right, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.